Googie, a founding member of the Virgin Prunes and friend and muse to you too, has been a practicing artist since the early days of punk rock in Dublin in the 1980s. He now has a very successful life as an artist. This year alone, he's had a solo exhibitions in the Arcane Gallery in LA, the Yoshi Gallery in Tokyo, and tonight, Googie's exhibition Broken opens at the Carlin Gallery in Dublin. The new paintings are certainly more abstract than past work, which involved depictions of household objects such as bowls and jugs, with numbers and text incorporated into the colourscape of the paintings. And in a more recent development, Googie has begun to create sculpture. And in the centre of the Carlin Gallery, as part of this current exhibition, are three large imposing black bowls cast in bronze with a luminous golden core. Along the walls are acrylic paintings on brown paper in perspex frames. Keshihi joined Googie to talk about the work in the gallery, and they began at the bowls.
So as we come up the stairs, you see the paintings, obviously, but then you see three cylinders, or three very solid sculptural bowls. What size are these?
These are approximately a metre in height by just over 1.2 metres across the widest part of the mouth. I guess this is the shape that I started with, and it, you know, takes me right back to my roots of these perfect lines and this bulbous thing. And these particular bronzes, there's three in this series, it's really dealing with, I suppose, two sides of a coin, or the inside and the outside of something or someone, whereby I've gone with this, they're not varnished. I've gone with this really dead, soft black. There's no reflection in it. There's no shine to be seen. And it's just dead. And as you can see, the inside is very highly polished, like the back of a wedding ring. And it's just dealing with life and death, just those two opposites, the vibrance, you know, and the beautiful light reflection of the inside and the total deadness of the outside.
And when did you get the idea to go sculptural?
John Rocha, many years ago, said to me, I'm doing this lifestyle centre. He was doing the interior design for a lifestyle centre up in Beacon Court, up in Sandyford. And he said, I want you to do the art for the inside of the main building. I just thought to myself, brilliant, I've got a great idea for a series of paintings. This is what I'm going to do. And then he interrupted to say, but it must be sculpture. And right before he said it to me, I had done a show with the Tony Schifrazzi Gallery, the Schifrazzi Gallery in New York. It's over 20 years ago. Tony Schifrazzi said to me, if you made sculpture, it would be a wonderful introduction to your paintings and people would understand them more. I started making sculpture. Strangely enough, it felt like the same thing to me. I think a painter can make sculpture, while a sculptor can't necessarily paint. And it just feels the same, because the mould that's used in the kiln to make these shapes come from drawings. Drawings are what I've done since childhood. So for me, it was exactly the same thing. I make the drawings, I get the line. You've got to visualize it to an extent. And what I'm trying to do is for the size that the bronze is, the bowl or the pot, just always looking for that perfect shape. It's how I started out in childhood, fascinated by, I would set up little still life compositions. I would work for hours and hours and hours on them.
I was reading one of the catalogues, and I think it was an essay by Sean Scully, and he said, making similarities between himself and you, he said that you'd both worked from hurt into art. What did he mean by that in relation to you?
Well, I remember in that essay, you know, he referred to the way some people will latch onto playing the blame game, or other people will go out and change the direction of their life. I think that's what he was referring to. I was one of 10 children. We grew up in Cedarwood Road in Ballymun, old Ballymun. I had an extremely strict disciplinarian dad. You know, he was a wonderful guy too. He did have a bad temper. He was Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Actually, you know, two sides of a coin. These bronzes, just looking at the sculpture now, he comes to mind.
You were obviously painting or drawing all your life. What sent you in that direction? Was there some inspiration that sent you there?
Yeah, I think the punk movement, you know, that started, I mean, that was really about two fingers up to pretty much everything that is boring or everything that I didn't like. The Virgin Prunes started at, I was the only one that had a car. So back in the old days, I would very often drive U2 around, the drum kit strapped to the top, guitars in the back. I'd often do a couple of runs to get the guitars there, to get the equipment there, then get the band there. And they were practicing in a little house that they had rented as a rehearsal studio out in Malahide. We were a tight bunch of friends and we hung out all the time. So we were just hanging out, drinking tea while they were rehearsing. And they stopped to have their cup of tea and their sandwich, and Dick picked up Edge's guitar. Dick, being Edge's older brother, was our guitar player. My brother, Strongman, picked up the bass, and we started, and we says, come on, guys, we can do this. Let's make a band. Punk had started happening in London. It was just like freedom. I'm not a musician. I found myself and Gav were the two front men in the Virgin Prunes.
That's Gavin Friday.
That's Gavin Friday. The Virgin Prunes was a tangent of my painting because, as I say, I was never a musician, even though I love music very much. What I brought to the Virgin Prunes was very much a visual thing, and that was a tangent of being a painter. I was interested in costume, performance, makeup. I saw the music that the Virgin Prunes made as a soundtrack to a performance. But I also did wall drawings, I did record sleeves, I never really left painting when I was in the Virgin Prunes. But then in 1984, parted company because I was just being sucked into what I already was, and I just had to give all my time to this. And
who were the artists then, Googie? Who were the people around town? Was it people like Mick Mulcahy? Or...
Exactly right. Would have been one of the first names that I'd have mentioned. I remember Phelim Egan, who's also, I would say, a friend of mine. I love Phelim's work. Nigel Rolfe, you know, was very much an inspiration to the Virgin Prunes because myself and Gav, as teenagers, wandered into the Project Arts Centre and we saw him performing. And we just says, this is unbelievable. There is no limit to what we can do. We're going to do exactly what we want. And that's what we did. You know, the Virgin Prunes, we aimed so high that 9 times out of 10, we probably missed the target. But anybody that was there when we happened to hit the target, I don't think has ever forgotten it, you know.
You wanted to talk about this work, which is not called Broken.
It's called Barbuda. If you go right back through my work, you know, I've always used turquoise. It can be a greeny turquoise, a blue turquoise, a grey-green, grey-blue. And I was out in Barbuda earlier in the year, the island of Barbuda, out in the Caribbean. You know, you see these colours. I've seen them on postcards and calendars and books, you know, on documentaries, where you see these beautiful turquoise and you can get a beautiful light turquoise bar in the ocean as you look at it from the distance, covered with a more grey colour each side. And they deeply affect me, you know, these turquoise colours. There's little bits, you know, of weed in the ocean. Sometimes you get the ripple of a fish. And the way a memory is almost like a dream, it's the memory you want to capture. And, of course, a memory, in a visual sense, becomes very abstract.
Do you think there are ghosts in the work? Do I see faces in some of the paintings?
Well, you know, I can't argue against my subconscious. I sometimes see things that I didn't realize were there. It's not that they're not there, but I don't purposely do any particular shape. I just instinctively move my arm and move my hand the way I feel it needs to be. Of course, I see things in my own paintings that I never saw before. Like shapes, I mean, as you say, you know, you saw what looks like it could be a face, you know, a ghostly figure. I also spot things that I didn't realize I put in. But as I say, It's purely instinctive when I'm painting, and as time goes on, more and more it's the way I paint.
Is it a big breakaway, breakthrough for you to be so abstract?
No, I think, well, for instance, when I was in school, I was fascinated by traditional still life drawing. The way the light hits an object, if it's a bulbous, you know, shaped object, the way it captures the light, it can throw the light, and then the shade comes into play. And as a general rule, most of the great abstract painters were fine draftsmen. And that is something that I came through as a child. It's something that I did all through so much of my spare time, sitting around the house, drawing on the back of boxes, drawing on the back of sheets of paper. And it's a natural progression. I think, you know, as time goes on, when you're painting all the time, you just feel less and less of a need to put in the lines and the strokes, getting away from that photo realism. Actually, the very start of this series, the entire line of the ball was in, which I showed at the end of last year in Chateau Lacoste. And I just found, as the series developed, you know, I guess the latest painting one does, they have more knowledge. That can be a good thing or a bad thing. Searching, you know, for the perfect painting, always one I don't think ever hits it. But it's in that search. It's really in the unknown. Like, I think most of my best work was actually an accident.